Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos Daf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Beis Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. El Rava Sfar de Nafshei Kamer. Yesterday, Rava had taught us that Ein Oynes Begitin. If one had made a stipulation, as the last example the Gemara gave, for example, one made a stipulation that he's giving his wife a get on the condition that if I don't arrive back home within 30 days, the get should be effective. And then it comes on day 30, and there's a flood, a river, blocking him from coming home. So it was an oinus. It was a situation beyond his control. Still, Rava taught us, ein oinus begitten. The issue of an oinus, the situation of an oinus, does not invalidate the get, and the get is still considered a valid get. And the Gemara, as we learned at the end of the shiur yesterday, was looking for a source for this halacha that Rava says. Says the Gemara, Rava svar de nafshei kamer. Rava, when he said this, he said his own reason. Misham tznuas or misham prutus. Rava was concerned because of people who are women who are modest and women who are not. Misham tznuas. What is the concern regarding modest women? The amrit leila have a get. If oinus does invalidate the get, and if there was a situation beyond his control, that will cause us to say that the get is invalidated. The stipulation, although it wasn't fulfilled, because of an oinus, is not considered it wasn't fulfilled. Zimnan, there may be a situation, the loy oinus, where indeed there was no oinus, and therefore the get halachically is certainly a very valid get. However, with Savra, we are dealing with a woman who's a tznua, a modest woman, and she's concerned to always do the right thing, and therefore she's concerned to honest that there was an oinus which would invalidate the get. And being concerned that this get is not a good get, she will not get remarried under the concern that she doesn't have a get, or ma'agna v'yosva, she will remain an aguna. And as we learned at the end of Masechta Yevamos, Chazal were so concerned that women should not remain agunas, that's why Rava made this ruling of ein oinus begitten. Or, says the Gemara, v'sham prutzis, we're concerned about women who are not snus. The amrit, loyla havageta, if we'll say that the get is not a valid get, zimnan the onus, there may be a situation where there is indeed an oinus, and therefore the get is not valid. For Amra, but she who is not a tznua will say loy onus, that there was no oinus, and therefore the get is a good get. And based on that, v'ozlu mintzaba should go and get remarried, which she had no right to do, because she has no valid get. And then it comes out, nimtz a get bottle, then it will turn out, we will ultimately discover that the get is really not a good get. Ubanea mamzerim, and when she got remarried, she had no right to get remarried. She's an Eishes Ish who got married to another man, and therefore her children are mamzerim. Therefore Chazal said that under all circumstances, oinus is not a valid reason to disqualify the get. The get is always a valid get. Tosfos gives two explanations in the Prutzis. One explanation Tosfos gives regarding the Prutzis is that it's not necessarily a woman who's not modest. It's a woman who's just not a tznua, and therefore she's not concerned that there was an oinus. She will rely on the get improperly. Another pshat that Tosfos offers is that this woman herself knows that there was an oinus here. Something beyond his control happened, and therefore the get is invalid. But she knows that no one else is aware of that situation, and she therefore will go and get married, even though she's a prutzis, and what she did is a prutzis, because she certainly should not have gotten married knowing that there was an oinus here. And because of that, Rava just made a rule, ein oinus begitten. Tosfos asks if we have such a concern, then yesterday, and we will learn again today, the Gemara, the Mishnah Masech, the Gittin discusses a case where a man said, the get should be valid after 12 months. And if he died within the 12 months, the halacha is, the get is not a valid get. Because as we learned, ain't get lachamisa. This get is only to be effective after he dies, and a get after the death of the husband can no longer be effective. Ask Tosfos again, why don't we have the concern of the tznuas, where there will be a situation where he really did not die, and therefore the get is a good get. But she will be concerned that he did die, and by being concerned that he died, she doesn't know if she's an almana, a widow, or she's a grusha. Is she a divorcee? And in other words, if he died, then she's an almana. If he didn't die, she's a grusha. But she won't know what her status is, and she won't get remarried under the concern that she's an almana and she maybe is a candidate for Yibam. So Taisha says there's a difference between Oinus and Misa. Oinus is something that's not always well known. However, Misa, if he died, Yesh Lakol, everybody will be aware, and even the Tznua will know exactly what her status is, and we need not be concerned. So as we understand the Gemara now, really Oinus is a reason to invalidate the get. It's a special takonis chazal, that chazal, as we will discuss more in a moment, said that the get should anyway remain valid. So the Rishonim, the Achronim discuss, what does oinus mean, that an oinus should say that the get is invalid? Mi'ikur hadin. One pshat is that an oinus cannot be considered that he didn't do what he was supposed to do. For example, again, our case, he was supposed to arrive and there was an oinus that prevented him from coming. One cannot say that he didn't come. It was the oinus that prevented him, but he really wanted to come. Another pshat offered is that there's an umdana. We can be certain that when the man made the stipulation, he meant all things being normal. But if there are situations beyond his control, that's not something that he thought of and regarded when he made the stipulation, and therefore oinus is not considered a normal situation, and the get would be invalid. What is the nafkamina between these two approaches? What will be the halacha if someone made a condition, but it's not a condition depending on an action that he has to do? Not the case that we've been discussing, that he made a condition, if I arrive, the get's not a get. If I don't arrive, the get is a get. He made the condition depending on someone else. If my colleague arrives, the get will be a get. And if my colleague doesn't arrive, my colleague arrives, the get will not be a get. And if my colleague doesn't arrive, the get will be a get. And his colleague doesn't arrive because of situation beyond his colleague's control. Well, be that locha. If we explain, says Rabbi Chanan, that the concern is an umdana, that's not something that entered his mind, so it makes no difference if the oinus was something that affected him, or if the oinus is something that affected his colleague. Under all circumstances, the oinus is an oinus, and mi'ikra adin, the get should be invalidated, if not for the special takana that our Gemara is now teaching us. However, if the point is that oinus, the chazal look at it as if he arrived, that could be said about something that affects me. I wanted to come, I tried to come, and something stopped me. But that may not be a factor when it affects my colleague, and therefore, in such a case, mi'ikra hadin, the get, that certainly would not be considered an oinus. The Chasam Sofer goes on to discuss, interesting shaila. Our Gemara is saying that if the person that mi'ikra din, or oinus, is a reason to invalidate. Really, an oinus should be considered that the get is invalid. Just Chazal made a special takona mishum tznuus and mishum prutzos. Ask the Chasam Sofer, what would be the halacha if a person says, I'm making up this condition, and I'm saying, it makes no difference if the condition, if I won't be here on the day, by the day, whatever day he identifies, the get should be a get, and I recognize, and he explicitly says, I recognize that there may be an oinus that prevents me from arriving. What will be the halacha then? Says, so here the person made this declaration. Says the Chasam Sofer, if he explicitly says this, then even if there was an oinus, the get will be a get, because he was aware of what he was getting into and still made that stipulation. Another shaila that the Mari ben Lev discusses is our Gemara discusses an oinus that affects the man. And Rava says, Mishum tznuus and mishum prutzos, we're concerned that the tznuus and prutzos, the tznuus may not be aware of the oinus, the prutzos may be aware of the oinus, as we discussed earlier, and therefore Chazal, to avoid this kind of, these situations, said, ein oinus begitten, we don't reflect that oinsim. What would be the halacha, asked the Mari ben Lev, if the oinus if the condition is tied to her? She certainly will know if there is an oinus or not. So there we don't have the concern that the tsunua will not know if there's an oinus. It's an oinus that affects her. Or, on the other hand, the same thing, the prutza cannot say, I didn't know. She certainly knew, because the condition was a condition that affected her. Will the din of ein oinus begitten still apply? So Mari ben Lev seems to say that loy plug rabbanon, once Rava established that oinus is not a factor, it makes no difference if it's the oinus that affects the husband that the woman may not be aware of, or if it's an oinus that affects her that she certainly is aware of. Chazal taught us ein oinus begitten. Ask the Gemara. So let's understand the situation here. That means really this get is invalid because there was an oinus. Then we go and say that the get is a valid get, and that this woman may marry anyone she wants. How could we allow that to happen? How can we say that a get, which is really not a good get, should be considered a good get? Answers the Gemara in. Call the Mekadosh, Adat the Rabbanan Mekadosh. Whoever gets married to the will of Chazal, of the Rabbanan, Befkin Rabbanan L'Kadosh Menei. As Tosfos explains, when we get married, we say, Harei HaMekadoshes Li Kedas, Moshe V'Yisroel, he's connecting his Kedushin to the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan have the right to annul the Kedushin. And therefore, under these circumstances, even if the get is really not valid, what in such a circumstance, Rabbanan annul the marriage, as if she was never married, there's no issue of an Eishes Ish. Ask the Mefarshim, if the Rabbanan have the ability to annul a marriage, and as we're learning now, actually sometimes employ that authority, so how can we ever have a situation that a woman should be considered an Eishes Ish that was Mezana, Eishes Ish that did adultery? We should always be concerned that this woman may be subject to a situation ultimately that will cause the Rabbanon to annul her marriage, and when her marriage is annulled, she was never an Eishes Ish. So some Mefarshim explain that even though, as we just said, the annulment retroactively annuls the marriage that she was never considered married, that is not necessarily pshat. The annulment is only from the moment that the Rabbanan employed a moment, not to say that she was never an Eishes Ish. But that's not Pasha Pshat, because either she was an Eishes Ish and requires a get, or she wasn't an Eishes Ish and that's why she doesn't require a get. So Mefarshim explained that that's not considered as Asra Sofik. It's not considered a situation that we cannot warn the woman, how are you doing this Aveira, because we're not sure she's really an Eishes Ish. Because since under most circumstances, we don't employ this concept of Afgin Rabbanon L'Kadush Minei, and as Mefarshim say, there's a chazoka that she will remain in Eishes Ish, and we cannot say Afgin Rabbanon L'Kadush Minei. The Ramban goes a drop deeper. He explains like this: what are we concerned? There's going to be an Eishes Ish that's going to do an Aveira, but to be considered that she did an Aveira, we have to give Asra. You are an Eishes Ish. You're not allowed to be Mazana, but how do we know she's an Eishes Ish? Maybe she'll be a woman that Rabbanon will annul her marriage. Says the Ramban, what is, and therefore it should remain a Hasra Sofik. Says the Ramban, when is something considered a Hasra Sofik? When she has the ability to not necessarily go do the Averit, something in her control. Afkin Rabbanon Kedushin Minei is not something that's in her control. It's in control of the Rabbanon, it's control of others. It's she can't ever initiate a situation that will cause Afkin Rabbanon Kedushin Minei, and that's why it's not considered Hasra Sofik. Ask the Rajba, if we see here that Chazal have the ability to annul a marriage, so why don't Chazal always use this authority to prevent Mamzerim? If there'll be a situation that Eishes Ish was Mazana, that we know that the children are considered Mamzerim, a terrible tragedy, why don't we just employ the concept of Afkin Rabbanon L'Kedushin Minei? So the Rajba says, in general, we can't just employ this principle indiscriminately. We have to follow the rules of Chazal. And he goes on to say that Chazal only use this concept of Afkin Rabbanon L'Kedushin Minei when there are circumstances. For example, in our Gemara, there was a get that we're not sure is or isn't a good get, or where there's an Eid Echad, the Gemara we learned, the Emesach, the Yivamis, when Eid Echad comes and says that her husband died, even though we really need two Eidim, so Chazal annulled the marriage. But just under nothing to initiate that annulment, just to use it because it's convenient, says the Rajba, we cannot. Amalei Ravila Ravashi, ask Ravila Ravashi, Teinech the Kodesh Bekaspa, we could understand that Chazal used this concept of Kinner Rabbanon L'Kedushin Minei when somebody was Mekadesh with money. As most Rishonim explain, since everybody is aware that Hefker Bezdin Hefker, so the money that's been given to affect the Kedushin, Bezdin could say it's not his money, and therefore she was never his wife. However, Kodesh Bebiyah, if somebody did Kedushin Bebiyah, what happens to that Bia? Michael Amema, how did Rabbanon make that Bia disappear? That's how most Rishonim, the Ramban, and most Rishonim explain. The Ra'ah explains the Gemara differently. The Ra'ah says that the Gemara's question is even by Kedushe Kesef. And the Gemara's question is, fine, when somebody did Kedushe Kesef, so that everybody understands that the Rabbanon have a right, have the ability to say that that money is not mine, and therefore the Kedushin is not a Kedushin. But after a person gets married with Kedushi Kesef, he remains living with his wife and he has relations with his wife. What is going to happen with all of those relations? That's the Gemara's question. Rashi quotes a pshat from Rabbi Yisof, that the Gemara's question is, Teinech the Kodesh Bekaspa, since Kedushe Kesef are only the Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon can annul that. But Kodesh Bebiya, Kedushe Biya are the Raisa, Michael and Meima, how could Chazal annul that kind of marriage? But Rashi takes issue with that pshat, because Rashi says that we certainly find that Kedushe Kesef are a full-fledged Kedushin. If somebody does Kedusha Kesef, is his wife not considered an Eishes Ish? Will his wife, if he's a Kohen, not be allowed to eat Truma? So that's why Rashi takes issue with that Pshat. The Chasam Sofer explains the Pshat of the Rabbis of Rashi this way. Of course Kedusha Kesef are a Daraisa. But what the Rabbis of Rashi meant to say is that just like any Kinyan Kesef, just like any financial transaction, Chazal have the ability to undo with their power of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. The Rabbis of Rashi understood they could do that with the Kedusha Kesef. But what's going to, because they recognize that that entire marriage is only a business transaction. But Kedush Bebiya, because Kadosh Rabbi Ma'ikal Meima answers the Gemara, Shavu Rabbanan Lebilas Pasanus. The Rabbanan have the ability to identify a Bia, whether it's the Bia according to Ramban that affected the Kedushin, or whether it's the Bia of the Ra'ah, or the Bias that a person did with his wife after they got married. The Rabbanan have the ability to identify them as a Kedushin, as a Bias Nus, and she was never considered his wife. And as the Mefarshim explain, even if there will be a situation where someone, when he did his Kedushin, did not say Kedas Moshe Yisrael, and he did not tie his Kedushin to the authority of the Rabbanan, still, Chazal have the ability to annul a marriage, just like they have the ability to say Hefker Bezdin Hefker, even if the person did not tie himself to their authority. Ikadamri, but there's a different version of what Rava said. Amar Rava v'chelen yigitin. Just like an oinus is a factor in all areas of halacha, as we learned in the previous year, the oinus was an issue that if you were supposed to get married to a woman and then there was an oinus that prevented them, so he doesn't have to begin supporting her. So too regarding a get, if there was an oinus, the get is invalid. Alma kasava Rava, yesh oinus begitin. Meisveis, what the Gemara is going to do now is that all the sources that the Gemara wanted to use to prove that Ein Oynes Begitten are now going to be questions. The Mishnah says, Masech Tegitten, Hareze Gitech Imloi Basi Mekan Vet Shnei Masachayosh. If somebody said, this is a get, if I don't arrive within 12 months, or Meish Petach Shnei Masachayosh, and he passes away within the 12 months, Ein a get. So the Deek is, Meisud Ein a get. Because the get is only effective after he died, and as we explained earlier, ain get lachemisa hachala. Had he become ill, even though it's an oinus, it would still be hareza get. Answer the Gemara: Olam em lachayla namien get. Truthfully, one can argue that even if he got ill, the get would not be an effective get because it was an oinus. V'hi gufa kamashmalon. So why doesn't the Mishnah give us the example that if he got ill, that would also invalidate the get? Because the Mishnah wants to teach us the halacha of ein get lachamisa, a get cannot be effective after the death of the husband. Ask the Gemara, ein get achamisa hatana le'resha. We already learned that halacha earlier in the Mishnah. We don't have to teach it now. Answers the Gemara, dem lafukid rabban nesainu. It wants to teach us that we could apply the principle that a get is not effective after the husband's death, even in a case where he wrote a date in the get, where Rabbi Nesenu, as we identified in yesterday's Shia, meaning Rabbi Yossi, said that should sort of say that the get is retroactively effective from the date that it's written, and that date that the get was written was before he died, teaches us the Mishnah, we don't agree with Rabbi Nesenu, and we don't follow the date written to get, and if the get was written, it should be effective after 12 months, and he died before that time, the get would not be an effective get, but we don't know what the halacha is regarding an oinus. Tashma, if somebody explicitly wrote into get, me'achshav, and the Mefarshim say, it's better to write the word me'achshav than write the word mehayoyim, because if he writes the word mehayoyim from today, if a day die in the middle of the day, we won't be sure what he meant. Did he mean any time during the day the get should be effective? Only after the day is over should the get be effective. That's why the Mishnah says use the word me'akshav from the moment the get is written. If I don't arrive within 12 months, or meis b'toch shnei masachadish, even if he dies within the 12 months, hareiz a get, because the get is effective retroactively from when he wrote it. My lav, who din l'chayla, that the same thing would be that if he got sick, the get would still be effective, even though he's an oinus. Answer my loy. Meistafka, only when he dies does he want the get to be effective retroactively, because the reason he wrote the get was the leinichle the tipul kamei yovim. He was a man without children. He did not want his wife to have to fall to yibam chalitza, so that's why he wrote this get. But it's not necessarily if he's alive, just sick, that he want the get to be effective, and we don't have a proof. Tashma, mahuda amalhu, the example that we began our share with. Somebody made the following stipulation. If I don't arrive within 30 days, lehevi get. The get should be a valid get. Also, besides plus the yamin, he arrived at the end of 30 days. Or paski maver, but there was a river preventing him from getting home. Vamlu, and he announced, chazud asoy, I'm here. It's still not considered that he arrived. I was an oinus that prevented him from coming. Still, we see that ein oinus begitten, that's not considered a valid issue to invalidate the get. Answer the Gemara, we can't prove from there. Answer the Shchiach Shani. That was an oinus that happened frequently. The he should have recognized that there's a real possibility that the river is going to prevent him from getting home. And when Veloy Isni, and he did not make this stipulation, it's his own fault, and therefore the get is valid. And as Tosfos explains, there are three types of oinsim. There's an oinus to shchiach, something that happens, and he should have taken into consideration can happen. And as our Gemara says, that's certainly not considered oinus. Our oinus to loy shchiach, something that nobody could have ever imagined would happen, says Tosfos, is certainly considered an oinus and would void the get. The machlokes between the two versions of what Rava holds is relevant to a situation, the shchiach v'loy shchiach. It happens, but doesn't happen that frequently. The first version of Rava holds ein oinus begitten, that would not be considered an oinus, and the get would be a good get. And the second version holds, yesh oinus begitten, that would be considered an oinus to invalidate the get. And the halacha, Taisha says, is that under those circumstances, ein oinus begitten, we don't consider that an oinus, and the get is considered a valid get. Om Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, says Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, loy shanu elo mitakonis ezra ve'elach. This halacha that we learned in our Mishnah, that a psula should get married on Wednesday, was only taught after Ezra made the rule, the Bezdin sits on Monday and Thursday. And therefore, we want, if there's a problem, he should arrive on Thursday morning to say that he did not find Dan Basulim. Ava Koyim Takanas Ezra, before the Takan of Ezra, Shabbati Dinam Kavum B'Kol Yoyim, the Bezdin sat every day, Ish Nisus B'Kol Yoyim, a woman could get married every day. Ask Tosfos, and the other Rishonim discussed this as well. If Bezdin sat every day, why did Ezra make a rule that they should only sit Monday and Thursday? So Tosfos says, it was Tupshotim. It wasn't that Bezdin necessarily sat every day. It was that Bezdin sat whenever needed. What Ezra did was bring some sort of schedule to it, that Bezdin should have firm schedule Monday and Thursday are the days that they're in session. Another pshat that's given is, yes, there were cities that Bezdin sat in every day. That's the way the Shita understands. But there were cities that Bezdin never sat. What Ezra did was bring some sort of uniformity, that in every city Bezdin should sit on Monday and Thursday. And according to this pshat, Ezra actually, to a certain degree, curtailed Bezdin, because in some cities they used to sit every day, and now they were sitting on Monday and Thursday exclusively. Ask the Gemara, Kayim Takanas Ezra, why are we reflecting on what happened before Ezra? Might the Hava. That's history. It doesn't impact on what we're trying to know. Is there a reason to make... Is there a reason that women should only get married on Wednesday or not? Answer to Gemara Hachikama. If there'll be a city, Yikabati Dinim, if there'll be a city that has, that sits the Kvun Ha'idna, that sits every day, Kikoidim Takanas Ezra, that city will be like a place before Ezra's Takana, Isha Nesas B'chol Yoyim, and a woman in such a city can get married every day. Ask the Ritva. We know there's a rule throughout Shas that once there's a rule made, then that rule can't be revoked. So once our Mishnah ruled that psulos should get married Wednesday, Yes, because in the time of the Mishnah, Bezdin only sat on Monday and Thursday. But once it was established that women should only get married on Wednesday, how can we undo that rule? So he answers that that was the original ruling of the Mishnah. The ruling of the Mishnah was that they should get married only if the Bezdin will sit only on Monday and Thursday. That's where they could be limited to get married on Wednesday. But in another area, they could get married any day. The Chasam Sofer explains that the ruling was that they should get married the day before Bezdin is in session. So in the Mishnah, when Bezdin was in session only on Monday and Thursday, therefore they could only get married on Wednesday. But if there will be a locale where they sit every day, so we're following the rule of the Mishnah by allowing her to get married the day before Bezdin's in session, which actually is every day. And therefore, Tosfos says that nowadays we don't follow this minhag of Bezdin being in session strictly Monday and Thursday. A woman could get married every day. However, as Tosfos, how could a woman get married on Friday? Bezdin is not in session on Shabbos. Says Tosfos that if a husband and wife will get married on Friday and there's an issue that he doesn't find Dan Besulim, Shabbos morning, he can't go to Bezdin. There's no Bezdin on Shabbos. But what he could do is he could gather together three people and tell them there's an issue here to make, and then we will continue dealing with it after Shabbos. Ask the Chasam Sofer an obvious question. If so, that it's enough to gather three people, and like that, we can say that he did what he was supposed to, why does the Mishnah say he could only get married on Wednesday? Because he has to go to Bezdin Thursday morning. He could always gather three people any day of the week. Answer the Mefarshim. The when are three people adequate? When we really don't have a strong system of Bezdin, like nowadays. So there we could rely on gathering, we have to rely on gathering three people and telling them there's an issue. However, in this time where there's a strong Bezdin system in place, so we don't rely just on gathering three people. We want them to go to a real Bezdin, and a real Bezdin was in session only on Monday and Thursday. Tosfos also asks, we gave another reason for getting married on Wednesday, because the chatan should be on Thursday, which is the day of bracha. So as we explained in the previous year, Tosfos holds that that reason for itself is not enough of a reason to force a wedding to be on Wednesday. Ask the Gemara, Habin and Shaktu, but we have a concern that we want that the chosin should prepare the meal properly, and that's why we want the wedding on Wednesday. He should have, as we'll learn soon in Amud Beis, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday to prepare the wedding. Answers the Gemara, the Tarchlei. If our Mishnah, the case that the Gemara here is referring to, Yudam Shmuel, is a case where he did prepare the wedding properly, and therefore the wedding does not have to be on Wednesday. The Ri Migash, in explaining what are the standards that should be followed, how to make a proper wedding, says we have to look at three factors. What is the local custom? What is the standing of the Chosin's family? And what is the social standing of the Kalos family? And he goes on to say that even if we always follow the highest standard, and therefore even if the local custom is not to have such fancy weddings, and the Chosin's family is not of such high social standing, still, if the Kalos family is of a high social standing, we can demand, the Kalos family could demand that they, the Chosin's family, should make a fancier wedding. And the Mashal goes on to say that even if the Kala herself waives this requirement, she says, I don't need a fancy wedding, her family can say, you don't need a fancy wedding, but we need one. However, says the Knesset Agdoila, that there's still a limit how much we could compel the chosin to spend. If the chosin is poor, The Kala's family cannot force him to make a fancy affair which would be above his means, even though they're of a very high standing. But we clearly see from our Gemara that weddings were prepared by the Chassan's family. So, however, we know that now the minig is that the wedding is prepared by the Kala's family. In fact, it has halachic ramification. Let's say the Chassan's family and the Kala's family did not discuss as they got in, when the Chassan Kala got engaged, who would pay for the wedding. And that is a question, who has to pay? Since nowadays the minig hamokim, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is that the Kala's family pays, if there wasn't discussed, it would become the obligation of the Kala's family to pay for the wedding. And the Bnei Yischar explains what changed, that now the Kala's family paid versus the original minig, which is obvious in our Gemara, that the Chassan's family paid. He says, because the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, that kol anenim sudas chosson bein resamchot, if somebody participates in a Chassan's wedding and he doesn't make the Chassan happy, enim resamchot, oy b'chomish koilis, a very serious aveira, says the Bnei Yischar. The Gemara uses the words kol anenim sudas chosson, the suda that the Chassan paid for. So when is there a concern that one could be over b'chomish koilis, could have this terrible sin on his shoulders, if it's a sudas chassan? So therefore the minig became that the kala pays. So it's no longer a sudas chassan. If it's not a sudas chassan, even if one participates in a wedding and he really didn't and really wasn't mesameich the chassan, he doesn't have to worry that he was over b'chomish koilis, because it wasn't a sudas chassan, it was a sudas kala. The kala paid for it. Ask the Gemara, my shaktu. And as the Mefarshim explain, now we're explaining that shaktu is a very strong concept, that shaktu should be a reason that a wedding should be limited to Wednesday. Others explain we want to find if there's a brisa is that says this concept of shaktu. The Pnei Yeshua explains what the Gemara is saying is that although we've been introduced in the previous year to the concept of shaktu, the Gemara's question here is, says the Pnei Yeshua, how do we know that shaktu itself is enough of a reason that a wedding should take place on Wednesday? Says the Gemara the Tanya, because it's the Braisa that teaches it to us. The Braisa says, "B'nei ma'omer b'sula nesas lo yom revi." Why did Chazal say that a b'sula should get married on Wednesday evening? Shem ha'yolai tanis b'sulim. If there's a problem with psulim, haymashkin lebezdin, he could go to Bezdin Thursday morning. Ask the Gemara if that's the reason for tinasa bechem b'shabbes, we could get married even on Sunday. From hayla tanis psulim, if there's a problem, haymashkin lebezdin, he could go to Bezdin Monday morning. Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, shok the chachamah at the Kodesh Pnei Yisrael. Chazal were concerned about Jewish women. She adam tarek b'sud shloish yomim, that a person, a chassan, should prepare the wedding for 3 days, Ech b'Shabbos, Sheni b'Shabbos, Shlishi b'Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Brevi Kainzo, and get married on Wednesday. Continues the Braisa, M'sakana ve'elach. However, after the time of Sakana, and we'll describe this soon, Nogu am lichnos b'Shlishi. The minig became that they get married on Tuesday. V'loimicha b'yadim chacham, Chazal did not object. However, marriages should not take place on Monday. However, machmas oinus, if there's an oinus mutter, then the marriage could take place even on Monday. Finishes the brisa. Mafrishnas achosim and akala, we separate the chos and kala. We don't let them have their first relations. Leil Shabbos tchila, on the Friday night, mneish oisa chabura, it's considered that he's harming her when he has the first relations with her. Something we will also discuss later in the Masechta. Ask the Gemara, Maisa Kona. What does the Braisa mean when we said there was a Braisa, there was a Sakona, and therefore the wedding should not take place on Wednesday? Ilema, the Amri Basula and the Sans Luyam Revi Taharik. That the government said that any Basula that follows the rule of Chazal should get married on Wednesday will be killed. Ask the Gemara, Nagu. It's only a minute then they get married on Tuesday night. Legamri Nakri. Under such circumstances, we should completely abolish the requirement to get married Wednesday night. It's sakonas nefashis. As durivash, don't we have a rule that if the government or anybody makes a decree against our religion, yoharuk val yaver, we're not supposed to allow that, we're supposed to be mice and nefesh and not follow that decree? Answers the Rivash, that the question of the Gemara is not towards the women. Yes, says the Rivash, the women have an obligation to be mice and nefesh, to follow every decree Chazal made. The question is, why don't Chazal go and abolish their decree so that women shouldn't have to be mice and nefesh? The Pnei Yeshua answers that just like we learned earlier in the Gemara, that this decree of getting married on Wednesday wasn't such a hard and fast rule, because like we learned, in a place where Beis Din is in session every day, in a place where there's shaktu, where the wedding was properly prepared, the wedding doesn't have to take place on Wednesday. So therefore the Gemara's question is, why do we go and just say that they should, why don't we just go and abolish the rule? We see that this rule is not such a hard and fast rule. Amar Rava. So Rava said what the Gemara meant to say was, there was a rule that any girl that got married on Wednesday, Tibala Hegman Tchila, had to first have relations with the government. So, since this is not necessarily a sakana, therefore, Chazal did not want to abolish the rule of getting married on Wednesday, but they were willing, just for the interim, that they should get married on Tuesday. Ask the Gemara, hi sakana, why is this considered a sakana? Oynesu, it's considered a rape, it's not a sakana. Answers the Gemara, b'shum de'ika tznuas, since there are women that are tznua, the masr nashai luktala, that will not allow themselves to live with the governor, and they'll be maisa nefesh, asking they sakana, they could come to sakana, therefore it's considered a sakana. And from here some mafarshim prove that if a woman wants to be machmer, not a woman, anybody wants to be machmer and be mice and nefesh when they're not required to, they are not supposed to, because otherwise if they're supposed to or they're allowed to, why is the Gemara saying that Mishum de ikatznus the master nafshay luktalu vassal de sakana? And then the Gemara asks for lidlish ludo and ishari, let's tell them that what they're doing is permissible and they don't have to be mice and nefesh. They want to be mice and nefesh, they're allowed to. Others explain it's a bemsa machloikis the Rambam and Trumas Hadeshin. The Rambam indeed holds that one may not be mice and nefesh when he's not supposed to, but even the Trumas Hadeshin, who says they are allowed to be mice and nefesh, these people are going to be mice and nefesh not because they're allowed to, they're going to be mice and nefesh because they think they're supposed to. So ask the Gemara, let's teach them the Einishari that they're not obligated to be mice and nefesh. Ask the Gemara, ask Tosfos the obvious question. We all know that there are three mitzvahs, Yehorug Val Yaver, and one of them is Gilui Arayis. So how can we say that they don't have that oynishari, that being raped is mutter? Rape is, it's still Gilui Arayis. So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer is, since it's the rape of a goy, the governor was a goy, it's not considered at all a bia. And therefore Tosfos says a chiddush, that if a woman had an adulterous relationship with a goy and then that goy converted, since the bia of a goy is not considered a bia, she would allow to be live with him after he converted, because the iser to a boil is only if there was a bia, but he's not considered a boil. And therefore Tosfos says, Tosfos wants to consider that if a woman had an adulterous relationship with a goy, even though when a woman normally has an adulterous relationship she may not have further relationships with her husband, this is not considered a relationship. However, Tosfos himself quotes the Riva, who disagrees and says that even though it's not the relationship with a guy is not considered a relationship, she certainly, if she had such an adulterous relationship deliberately, she cannot go back to her husband. And Mefarshim explain Because even though we're saying that it's not considered technically a relationship, the reason a woman may not continue living with her husband after she had an adulterous relationship is because it's considered that she did a maisa znus, or she's considered a zayna, or it's considered that she acted improperly towards her husband. That makes no difference if technically it's considered a bia or not. Another pshat that Tosfos gives is that since the woman is passive in this act, so it's not considered that she did the aveira of gilui arayis. And the proof that the Rishonim give to that is because the halacha is that one is not allowed to murder somebody. Even if he doesn't murder him, he will get killed himself. The famous concept is what makes your blood more valuable than the blood of the other person that you're going to kill? What makes your life more valuable? But that's only when he's actively killing. Here, the woman is acting in a passive role, and therefore it's not considered she did the aver of Yarek Valyaver. Asks Reb Chaim Briska, how can we bring a raya from Ritzicha, where Ritzicha by definition means an active murder, to Znus, where Znus is done both actively and passively? Says Reb Chaim Briska, what we learn from Ritzicha is that an active act is considered a serious avera in these three averas that one should be Maisa Nefesh. Anything that doesn't involve activity is not considered such a serious avera that one should have to be Maisa Nefesh. Answers the Gemara, so why don't we just announce that she's allowed to live with the governor and not postpone and not change the date? Answers the Gemara, the Ikaputzes, there are women who will live with the governor willingly. Those women will then be usher to live with their husbands, or ikit nam kahanis, who even if they're raped may not go back to their husbands. That's why Chazal said that all women should get married on Tuesday. Ask the Gemara la'akri, so if there's such a danger, why don't we just abolish the requirement of Wednesday marriages? Answers the Gemara, gzeira vidi the bottle. The decree will eventually be revoked. However, the kantarabonan mekam gzeira leikrinan. Therefore, we don't abolish this din because ultimately this decree will be revoked, and then we could go back to having marriages on Wednesday. Ihachi asked the Gemara, if that's the concern, b'shlishi nami osibol, so we're going to get married on Tuesday, what do we accomplish? So he'll come on Tuesday. Answers the Gemara, misfek lo yakon nafshi. The governor was aware that Jewish marriages took place on Wednesdays. So he came and had, because he knew that it's very likely there's a marriage taking place. On Tuesday, he's not sure there's a marriage taking place. And moreover, the Rishonim explained, part of the governor's intent was to abolish the rule of Chazal. Tuesday marriages aren't because of legislation of Chazal, therefore he won't come. The Braisa said, Rishani lo yichnas, one should not get married on Monday. However, machmas oinus, there were unavoidable circumstances, mutter, he can get married on Monday. My oinus, what is the case? Ilema hadamarin, that the case that we already spoke about, the situation with the governor. And what the Gemara means to say is that they extended their rule to Tuesdays. So if that's what the Braisa means, it's difficult to understand. Hosm karlei oinus. In the first case, the Braisa, it's karlei skona. In the first Braisa, it's called a sakana. Vacha karlei oinus. And here it's called an oinus. Vesu hosom. In the first Braisa, part of the Braisa says nagu. People became accustomed to get married on Tuesday. And here the Braisa uses the word mutter, that it's permitted. Amar Rava. So Rava says the case of this part of the Braisa is referring to a situation of Satsa Balair. A general's coming to town and we're afraid that they're going to take everything that was prepared for the feast and use it up and they won't have food for the wedding. Ask the Gemara. Hechidami. And this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. If the general is coming and leaving soon, lekif. So let's postpone the wedding for next week. Tosfos doesn't like this pshat because Tosfos doesn't want weddings to be postponed. Says the Gemara, He's staying for a while, so there's a real concern that this wedding will get postponed indefinitely. Ask the Gemara, fine, if he's coming on Wednesday, and this again, this is the way Rashi learns, and therefore we don't want the wedding to be postponed because we don't know how long he's staying, so we're going to make the wedding earlier, so why do we go back to Monday? Let's make the wedding on Tuesday. And again, we always want to make the wedding later in the week to give more time for the chassan to prepare the meal. Answer the Gemara. If the general is arriving on Wednesday, as part of the day, his soldiers, his forward team, is coming already on Tuesday. And they're already going to take food from the meal. Therefore, we want to get the chassan done before any of the soldiers arrive, and we make the wedding on Monday so that the wedding should take place in peace with no concern that anybody's going to take away from the meal, and then they'll arrive, the earlier soldiers, on Tuesday and the rest of the army on Wednesday.